If you've got your Bible with you, would you turn to Matthew? Matthew chapter 14. And I'm reading from verse 22. Matthew 14 from verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, where he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, crying out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Let's pray. Father, as we study this word now, speak to us. We see the disciples acknowledge your Son there as the Son of God. And reveal him to us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. There are times when life can be something of a puzzle. Who knew? We're in part two of a two-week mini-series called Puzzled, because a lot of things in life can leave us just a little bit puzzled, or sometimes maybe a lot puzzled. Not just how the world works, although we've seen this week some things that have left many of us scratching our heads in bewilderment, but also life itself. The things that happen in the life of our communities, or of our church, or our families, or just as individuals. Life can be like trying to work out a puzzle. And in fact, given that today is Remembrance Sunday, I think it's appropriate to consider how many people through the years must have marched off to war or seen their loved ones marching off to war with exactly that sense of puzzlement. What is going on here? How did we get into this situation? Am I ever going to see my spouse, my children, my parents again? And we see that illustrated in the Bible in a verse that we've had as our sort of theme verse for this series. It comes out of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 12, where the Bible says, "Now we see things imperfectly, like a puzzling reflection in a mirror, but then we'll see everything clearly." And we saw last week that there is a real tension between the now, these situations that we find ourselves in that are really puzzling and confusing, but at the same time we're waiting on the then, when we're promised things are going to make sense. Between the now, when we think this wasn't supposed to happen, this wasn't the plan, how is this demonstrating God's faithfulness and goodness? And the then, of which God says, "I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope." So we're looking at this again today with some insights from the passage that I just read in Matthew 14. This is sort of one of the top 10 stories in the Bible. But whether this is very familiar to you or whether it's brand new, let's all consciously open our eyes to see fresh things that God might be saying here. began verse 22, immediately after this. So immediately after what? Let's just work out the context here. What's just happened is that Jesus had just heard the news that his cousin, John the Baptist, had been executed. If you were here last week, you might remember that we were reading about when John was in prison. Having a real now is pretty puzzling moment. And Jesus points him towards the then of God's plan. But John is still in the now. And the now concludes with him having his head cut off. So Jesus hears this and heads off to a remote place to try to be alone. But the crowds doggedly follow him up into the hills. And he ends up having to feed them all. That's the feeding of the 5,000. So that is what has just happened. And Jesus and his disciples are presumably tired, upset about John. And I dare say that the disciples are probably rather scared too about what has happened. So, verse 22. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. Now that phrase, far away from land, the original Greek word suggests that they were probably something like 2 or 3 miles out into the lake. They may well have been blown off course from where they were, 3 miles out into the middle of the Sea of Galilee. And we're about to find out that by the time Jesus gets to them, they have been battling this storm for over 9 hours, all through the night, with a storm pounding against their little fishing boat, with them trying to row back on course. And the waves just kept coming. I can't imagine at some point during this 9-hour onslaught from the storm that some of the disciples didn't turn to one another and say, look, who told us to get in this boat anyway? Because Jesus had told them to get into the boat. He insisted. It wasn't even a suggestion. He absolutely insisted on it. And where is he? Where is he now? Because we're about to die out here. I thought he said to get into the boat, and now we're out here about to lose our lives. I wonder if you've ever felt like that. Ever felt that you knew God told you to do something. You know, you knew God had said to you, I want you to start this business, and now you're in financial ruin. Or you knew God told you to be a parent, and your child is out of control. Or you knew that God had said to restore that relationship, and it just hurts. You're in the storm with the waves coming. Did Jesus abandon the disciples? Let's read on and find out. Verse 25. Just before dawn, about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" You know, they're sitting there, out there in the storm, thinking, can this get any worse? And the answer appears to be yes, it can get worse. Now you've got a ghost to deal with as well. So when you're in a storm, don't be asking about how much worse it can get, because it did get worse for them. They're scared for their lives already, and all of a sudden, the storm inside their minds, the questions, the doubts, the worry, the fear that we could die, becomes even worse than the storm on the sea. And Jesus, in that moment, chooses to calm the storm inside the disciples and says, hold on, it's okay, it's me, I'm here, don't be afraid. He does that before he calmed the storm on the sea. And the same thing happens to us. We find ourselves in storms, and all of a sudden the fear, the doubt, the worry, the questions, all of these things begin to pound away at us, and the very storm within our soul becomes greater than the storm in our circumstances. And it's important for us to recognize that and if you're taking notes, write this down, that sometimes God will choose to calm the storm in our soul before he calms the storm in our circumstances. No storm is too great for Jesus. The great quote about this from Sam Roberts: in the very storm that the disciples found themselves in was the footpath that Jesus walked to save them. In the very storm that the disciples found themselves in was the footpath that Jesus walked to save them. You see, there is purpose in our storms. Let's keep reading. So Jesus tells them, "Don't be afraid, I'm here." And then who is usually the first disciple to speak up? It's Peter. And true to form, here he is at this time in verse 28. "Then Peter called to him, 'Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water.' 'Yes, come,' Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. 'Save me, Lord,' he shouted. 'Save me.'" See, Peter had come to the end of his faith. All of a sudden, he began to sink. And when there was nowhere else to go, nothing else to do, he says, "Lord, save me. Help." And Jesus, we're going to see, immediately picks him up. See, God does that same thing to us. He lets us walk out to the edge of our faith, and we begin to teeter, and all of a sudden we begin to feel like we're sinking. And it's at that moment that God comes alongside and he picks us up and he takes us deeper than our feet would ever wander, so that our faith becomes stronger in the very presence of our Savior. And that's what had happened to Peter. In fact, have a look at this. Over in 1 Peter chapter 1, this is a letter that Peter wrote later on, years later, where Peter is encouraging some believers, and he says these words in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. "So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, that your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." He's saying, hey, you're going to have some trials. And I can almost hear Peter saying, don't worry about that, because let me tell you something. I've had some trials. I've been out on a lake before, and the wind and the waves, and oh my gosh, and then there was a ghost, and my goodness, I've had some trials. And then he says, but that's okay. They are just momentary and light troubles, and they're going to refine your faith, and it's going to become greater when Jesus Christ is revealed. And my friends, he is going to be revealed, because he came out to me on a lake in a storm. I'm telling you, it's amazing. What gives Peter such conviction, such passion? It's because he had been picked up where his faith ended, and God carried him to a new and deeper place of relationship with him. Back in Matthew, we see after he shouts, "Lord, save me," Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" And when they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Now, the primary miracle, the main miracle here, obviously, is Jesus walking on the water. But don't miss this part, because often we read right past this. They climb into the boat without Jesus speaking a word or doing anything, and all of a sudden, the winds just stop. This thing had pounded for 9 hours against them, and it just passes. And in our lives, very often, the storms, when they have served their purpose, they pass. they stop. So what was the purpose in this storm for them, for the disciples? Well, it's in verse 33. Then the disciples worshipped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. "You really are the Son of God." And just note that this is the first time that the disciples, the 12, in one voice, unequivocally proclaim that Jesus is the Son of God. Oh, they'd seen some amazing thing. They'd seen him turn water into wine. They'd seen him feed 5,000 people with a few small fish and some loaves. They'd seen him heal people. But this was different. Because apart from anything else, this was personal. They'd found themselves in the middle of a storm, and Jesus came walking to them on the water and saved them. There is purpose in our storms. There's purpose in our questions and our fear and our anxiety, those storms that we face. When they are surrendered to God, they serve an eternal purpose for the deepening and strengthening of our faith, which would in many cases just remain lifeless and empty of true meaning and depth. So what is it for you? Maybe your marriage is in a storm right now. Maybe you're drowning in an addiction. Maybe your health report isn't so good, and the waves of bad news just continue to pound against your boat. Now let's be clear, God does not cause those things to happen. But if you trust him, he will take those storms and give them a purpose, a meaning, and use them to grow your faith in him. Some of you will know a song that was written just a couple of years ago called Oceans. I didn't really understand the lyrics to this until I realized that they were about exactly this. "Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Help me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior."